What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, episode 56, Supplements with Dr. Sandlin. Actually, I've titled all the ones that I've saved Supplementing with Sandlin.
There you go. Like
Supplementing with Sandlin for October 2nd, 2013. Our special guest is Dr. Judy Sandlin, a clinical assistant professor at Texas A&M. Is that still correct?
Well, I actually got a promotion, so now I'm associate. It doesn't really mean any whole lot different, but...
Associate,
right. Yeah. This means you've been here a long time.
I think you got a promotion last time right before, or either that or I didn't type it in, so...
Maybe that. I don't know. Maybe it's that. My only one here, so...
Oh, okay. Well, of course, I am your host, Jeremy Jackson, and with me today is...
Michelle. Alex.
Alejandra.
Brianna.
Lorena.
Marissa.
Aisha.
Edith.
So if you want to join in this show, you can always check it out on sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/live, and so you can see all the live shows, or sportsmedicinebroadcast.com, and then that'll take you to all the other links, so you can check it out live. You can join in the talk here with today's meet. Michelle's looking for something to do. She wants to chat it up with somebody. Or you can do the Ustream social feature, which will give Brianna something to do, because she's switching cameras, but she's got to learn how to do the Ustream social part. Got it? All right, so quickly about Dr. Sandlin. She has been a teacher for about 28 years, mostly in the college setting. Correct, Dr. Sandlin?
That is correct.
All right, and then what department are you in there at A&M? I know it was like health and...
Well, I actually am trained health and physical education teacher, but now I'm still in the College of Education, which is where a health and kinesiology department would be. But I'm now in the Education Administration and Human Resource Development Department. So a little bit different than where I've been in the past.
All right. That'll work. And then she's got lots of interesting stories about things that they do during their free time, her and her husband, going to spend a lot of time in Colorado, being out in the woods and that kind of thing, being wilderness and chasing down bears and things like that. But we'll get to those later. That's why she takes supplements, so she has energy to wrestle the bears.
All right. We'll talk about that later, too.
quickly, if there's anybody listening, you want to support what we're doing here, we're actually training all of our students in first aid, CPR, and AED. So on donorschoose.org/jeremy.jackson, you can help support what we're doing. We're actually trying to purchase an AED trainer, so it's a practice AED. So if there's anybody that wants to donate for the next about 5 days after today, if you donate a dollar, it becomes two, because they're doubling all donations. And so I just got an email from a friend saying they're going to donate $100, so that becomes $200 towards the $500 total. So that's a pretty good little chunk of change. So if anybody wants to donate anything, or you can vote on the Sonics Limates for Learning, and maybe they'll donate some money too if we get enough votes. All right. Quickly, we're going to run around with breakfast, so be ready. Michelle, what did you have for breakfast this morning?
I had donuts and milk.
Donuts and milk, better than nothing. Alex?
I had like little cherry tomatoes and bacon strips and egg.
Syrup?
Valentina.
Eggs with syrup?
No, with Valentina.
It's Valentina.
Yeah.
Hot sauce. Oh, okay. Ali?
Cereal.
Cereal? Good. Brie? Yeah, talk into the mic.
Nothing.
All right. Lore?
Kolache and water.
What kind of kolache?
Sausage and cheese.
Sausage and cheese kolache. Nice. That'll work. Marlon?
I didn't have nothing.
Nothing?
I haven't eaten anything since last night.
Aisha?
I ate a pancake and sausage on stick.
Breakfast here?
Sounds good.
Yeah, with the orange juice.
Good.
Ooh, so good.
I had cereal.
Cereal. All right, so I think two people didn't eat breakfast.
She don't never eat.
I do. It's just that the bus gets there like at 6:35 and I wake up at 6.
6:35?
Yeah.
Dang, that's early.
And we get here at school like at 6:51.
There should be enough time. The bell rings at 7:05 something.
Yeah, I know, but there's like a long line in there.
I get to school like at 7:30 every day.
That's why you're going to fail first period.
I'm not. Right. I'm always
so,
there.
Moving on. Dr. Sandra, Lorena is the co-host, so she's going to be doing, I'm not sure if you're looking at the notes or anything, she'll be doing the ones in red, but she wasn't expecting it. So if she's a little off on her questions, she wasn't prepared. So she's subbing. So, Lorena, why don't you get us started?
Can you give us some background, where you're from, colleges?
Okay. I actually grew up in Louisiana and attended school not too far from where I grew up, Louisiana Tech University in Ruston, Louisiana. And I left there and with a undergraduate degree, teacher certification in health and physical education, and was fortunate enough to get accepted and got to teach at Baylor University for a year while I was working on my master's, and got to teach college students in the health and physical education area, and really kind of fell in love with the college teaching and knew that at some point in time I needed to get a doctorate degree if I wanted to teach at the college level. So I actually took a couple of years off from school and worked in Waco, and then actually ended up getting a doctorate degree here at Texas A&M in health and kinesiology, and have been at several universities in Texas as well as State of Virginia for a while. And my husband and I moved back to Texas A&M in, I guess, 2007. So we both teach in the college. He teaches allied health classes, so future like nurses and PTs and OTs, and then Education Administration Human Resource Development.
All right, that'll work. So I'm not sure, again, exactly what's happening, but with this, it's kind of going in and out, and I don't know if it's on your end or my end, or maybe if you're, like, leaning back to talk or anything like that. But
you can lean forward. Is that better?
It is for now. I mean, it worked earlier, and then whenever you started talking, it kind of went out. So it's all right. We'll give it a shot.
Okay, I'll stay forward.
Okay. That'll work.
Can you briefly define superfoods?
Okay, a superfood is a food that is very nutrient dense for the calories that you actually get. So they come from all the different classifications of food. So it could be protein, it could be carbohydrates, fruits and vegetables. It's kind of it's a term that's been around for a while, but it's something that probably very recently kind of came back into usage because people that work with, let's see, say diabetic patients, they would have superfoods for diabetes patients, superfoods for females, superfoods for pregnant women. So it's a term that's kind of been around for a while, but has recently sort of come back. It gets attached to different genders, different ages, different potential diseases, so cardiovascular disease, cancers. And so I think there's been a lot more research on some of these foods that seem to be very healthy for particular people at particular times in their life.
All right, so I know we're talking about supplements today, but we had talked last year about superfoods,
right.
And you were the one that kind of kicked us off on a little weekly or biweekly superfood experimentation. And so I figured maybe this could be our tradition. We talked to Dr. Sandlin, and then this week we can plan, and next week on Friday or so we can start maybe with superfood smoothies, because that's something that's pretty easy to do.
Exactly.
So with that in mind, with maybe smoothies being probably our first thing that we're going to do, Aisha? Kind of keep the smoothies. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
What are your favorite superfoods?
And let's kind of focus on smoothies here, Dr. Sandlin.
Okay. Well, I was disappointed that you didn't ask me for what I had for breakfast, because I actually had a smoothie, not surprisingly.
That's what I expected, and that's why I was going to come back to it.
So. There you go. And I got motivated with being October and bought some canned pumpkin. And so I kind of had a pumpkin, vanilla, cinnamon spice smoothie this morning. And so I'm kind of experimenting with putting some pumpkin in different flavors in the smoothies. Last year, I went on a little bit of a kick and tried to add jalapenos to some of my fruit-flavored smoothies, and I kind of didn't like those, so decided this summer to go a little bit different direction. I had a nephew that graduated from high school this past May, and my gift to him was smoothie-making lessons. And so he is actually a freshman here in the Bryan-College Station area, and so I've enjoyed this past year teaching him how to put things like spinach and kale, so those rich, leafy vegetables that a lot of people, including kind of myself in some instances, wouldn't necessarily eat by themselves. I even experimented with putting some broccoli in a smoothie. I think Mr. Jackson and I actually met at a presentation that I did one time called Sneak It In, where you can get some of these healthy foods into your diet by putting it in, and it sort of disguises maybe the flavor, or some of the flavors that you might like better come out, so like the bananas and strawberries and some of those. Something else that I've been experimenting with in my smoothies has been some different nuts, so cashews, almonds, and you kind of put that in with a banana, maybe a little vanilla, some of those types of flavors, and it's almost like a peanut butter banana sandwich, you know. But it's a cool drink. It's a smoothie. You can drink it out of a straw. So those are the things that I can think of. In one of my pumpkin smoothies, I did freeze some Roma tomatoes, mainly because they were going bad, and I was like, well, I don't really want to throw these away. So I put a tomato in, and again, if you have the right ingredients, some of those flavors really don't necessarily come out. And I actually happen to like tomatoes because I like hot sauce and spaghetti sauce and all those things. But that was something else that was kind of interesting. I never had really put a frozen Roma tomato in my smoothie, but worked out well. It tasted good.
All right. So my wife is a huge fan of pumpkin, just about anything. So how did you make this pumpkin vanilla cinnamon spice smoothie so that maybe I can try it?
Okay, well, I started with canned pumpkin. And the pumpkin I bought was, and I don't know how many of you guys and gals over there bake. I'm not a huge baker, but you can actually buy canned pumpkin that already has the spices in it. So basically, there's very little work you have to do if you're going to make a pumpkin pie. The stuff I bought was just the pureed pumpkin. So it would be one, if you were going to make a pie, you have to add all your spices. So I started out with that. And then, I'm going to probably experiment some more with it because it really has the consistency of yogurt and very high in, like, all of those orange, very high in vitamin A, vitamin C. So I'm going to try to experiment with it in taking place maybe of some of the yogurt in some of my smoothies. So, but in this one, I put the pumpkin puree, frozen banana. Actually had some carrots that I threw in. Summer squash is getting ready to come out, so you could put some of that, or not summer squash, but butternut squash. You could probably put that in, so that kind of goes along with that orange. I had a frozen tomato in there just kind of for fun and to see how, you know, what it tasted like. I'm not much of a baker, I just said, so I just sort of put about, maybe a tablespoon of vanilla, some cinnamon, some nutmeg, so kind of those traditional pumpkin pie spices. Let's see, I use a little bit of artificial sweetener because the pumpkin itself, since it didn't have the spices in there, wasn't real sweet. What I've also done is, depending on how I eat it, if I eat it with a spoon, I've actually gotten where I'll throw some raisins are pretty good because they're sweet. And I also like honey for sweetener. So depending on how I'm eating it, I'll put some honey in there. And that one, those, I put some oatmeal. And, you know, I try to put in like the flaxseed oil, maybe a little protein powder, you know, some things that don't really have a whole lot of taste necessarily to them, because the pumpkin and the banana is going to really be the flavors that you actually taste. But it's pretty good. And, you know, it's fall. It's time to have some pumpkin.
Absolutely. All right, so that's a whole lot. So So maybe we'll just try putting some bananas, pumpkin, yogurt.
Jackson,
Sarah Jack's 02 said, can Jackson get the recipe for the pumpkin smoothie? We have pumpkin bread in the oven.
Nice. All right, so that's what we just did. So awesome. So we kind of, that's what I was going over there. So banana, did you say you used yogurt in this one, Dr. Sandlin?
I didn't, but, you know, you certainly could. I actually, I think, use some water and maybe a little, I kind of started using powdered milk instead of yogurt at times, just because it's easier to keep that. But I think if you, either way, I've actually seen recipes that have like evaporated milk in there or almond milk. So it depends on how, you know, what you have available. But the predominant flavor will be the cinnamon and the, you know, the frozen banana gives it sort of that creaminess and coolness and smoothie, you know, the traditional kind of smoothie texture, as opposed to just like a juicing type of situation where it's totally liquid.
All right, Marlon, did you type all that in? Marlon's supposed to be kind of typing in the show notes so that we kind of have a transcript of what we're saying, and so she's just supposed to catch as much as she can. So don't worry about that. I was just checking to make sure she's getting it.
Okay. So. And the thing too that I would suggest if people listening don't necessarily like, let's say, raw carrots or, you know, any of the kale or spinach, you know, any of those can go into a smoothie because you know, they get whipped up and you get the nutrients, but you know, it's not the predominant taste that you have. And so sort of going back to that sneak it in, notion of sneak it in.
Exactly. So so we're going to have to try when we go with the smoothies in there, I think a week and a half or something like that. So hopefully we'll be able to try some smoothies and sneak some stuff in. So
there you go.
All right, Michelle, are you?
Any new superfood creations this summer?
Well, I think I've said a few of them. Probably my favorite has been the using nuts in them, because that's not really something that I had been doing. But I did some research on like walnuts are really helpful. The cashews, I really like cashews a lot. I really like almonds a lot. My experiment with sort of having spicy like jalapenos and stuff in them, I didn't really care for that, to be honest with you. But, you know, some people might actually sort of like that. I don't think I had the right combination of items. I will say that over the summer, my contents changed a little bit. So over the summer, I used a lot of cantaloupe, honeydew, watermelon. So those were actually really pretty good. I used some pineapple a couple of times over the summer. But basically just anything that, you know, is in season and, you can, you know, freeze real easily. I would say use my old staples, Huawei, strawberries, bananas, and yogurt. And then anything else I'll sort of have in the refrigerator, or, you know, and I'm pretty good at if something's getting ready to go bad, I'll, stick it in the freezer and throw it in the smoothies the next time I make them.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
So you weren't a big fan of the jalapeno stuff, huh?
No, you know, why don't you guys try that and you can get back to me. I'll tell
you. Maybe I'll bring some. I got some jalapenos from in my garden, so maybe I'll bring some of those and you guys can chop them up and eat them whole or throw them in your smoothie or whatever. But when we go to make salsa, we can use them too.
Yeah, we can do that for the salsa, but not the nuts.
All right.
What can you tell us about AdvoCare?
AdvoCare. Well, can I ask you guys a question?
Sure.
Yes, ma'am.
Where did you hear about that?
I actually typed in the question. So somebody.
I was just curious.
Somebody was telling me about it, and so I was like, "Well, let's talk to an expert about it." So.
Okay. Well, AdvoCare is a line of supplemental products. And I think they're probably one of the more well-known in terms of, you know, their whole line of products. I believe Drew Brees is a spokesman for them. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest. I mean, I'm not speaking about Advocare in, you know, very specifically, but as a general rule, I would not be, I'm not an advocate of taking supplements. If you really look at what experts say, doctors, nutritionists, dietitians, sport nutrition folks, if you eat right, you really shouldn't need to take a supplementation. So I'm a proponent of trying to really get what you need into your diet through the foods that you consume. I know a lot of times that's easier said than done, and so that's why people, I think, turn to some of these supplemental products. I would say if you're going to do that, you need to do that with a very high level of caution. And I think as we go along, we're probably going to be talking about some of those things. But in terms of just Advocare in general, I've heard of it. I know people who sell the product, and I'm not exactly sure how that company is set up in terms of getting their products out to people. I'm not sure that it's something that you can walk in and buy in like a drugstore. It may be something that you have to buy from someone who actually sells the product. So if you're going to use it, I would just say be very, very, very careful doing that. And then particularly if you're an athlete and you're going to be drug tested, you've got some additional caution that needs to be taken.
All right. So I know when we talked to you, it was last year, it was a different group of kids, and we talked to a registered dietitian, Dr. Wilson. She was talking about informed choice, and so that's one of the things I saw when I looked at the Advocare website, just to do a little bit of like a basic research, and said most of their products are certified clean or free from informed choice. Mm-hmm. And so I know that's kind of one thing you're talking about there, with drug testing for athletes, but...
Right.
Are there any supplements that are red flags?
Well, I mean, the easy answer is that all of them are. And kind of the thing that everyone really needs to understand is how supplements are regulated. And so I'll use an example. If you went into a drugstore and bought, let's say, a bottle of aspirin, or whatever the brand is, there will be a label on there that will tell you the ingredients of that aspirin. And because of how drugs are regulated, the amount of any one of the products that you see on that label, there's a very narrow margin of error in terms of how much is actually in that product, because drugs are very highly regulated in terms of the products that go in. If we were at a drug manufacturing company and they were going to switch from making aspirin to another drug product in terms of how they clean the machinery and the bottling and, you know, everything related to the drug manufacturing, very, 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 very highly regulated. Because of a law that was passed in 1994, the supplement industry is very, very, very different. In fact, we don't have time to talk about all the potential issues, but one of the things that is potentially dangerous is the labeling. So the label that you see on a supplemental product might tell you, you know, the ingredients and, you know, the percentages and the amounts and stuff like that. But there's really nothing that the federal government does to regulate whether those labels are actually true. And then also because of how drugs are regulated, supplements aren't regulated, where some athletes in particular have gotten into trouble and tested positive is there are actually substances in some supplements that are not listed on the label. And those substances, if they're on the banned substance list, this is where athletes kind of get in trouble. So there's not a lot of, another issue with supplements is there's just not a lot of necessarily good research that suggests that even the claims on the label even work, you know, that the supplement even does what the label kind of suggests that it does. So the supplement industry So you just need to be very, very careful. Kind of in preparation for today, I did a little research, and here in the last week, there have been 9 instances in Hawaii where teenagers were actually hospitalized with liver and kidney damage and even maybe failure. And the only thing that they could trace it back to was supplement use. And it was females who were trying to lose weight or males who were trying to gain weight. And I don't know that I can say the product name on here. I'll be happy to tell you. It's written in newspaper articles, but it was actually traced back to a particular, very specific product that was used in teenagers. So it's not uncommon to read stories about supplement use where kidney failure, liver failure happens because of that lack of regulation. So the percentages of products in a supplement, the actual product, actual product in the supplement, you just have to be very, very cautious. So to go back to your question, I would say all supplements are kind of in black. I think there are some products in the last 10 years, and I've kind of been keeping up with supplements probably for the last 13 or 14 years. Substances like ephedrine used to be on the market, and those have actually been taken off the market because of the effects that they've had on people having heart attacks who were taking them. And there's some fairly famous athletes. I believe there was a football lineman for the Vikings and a pitcher for the, I think it was a something like that, who both actually died, and they traced it back to the use of these products. And both of those gentlemen were actually trying to, quote unquote, get in shape for the season. And so they were using that product, which is akin to speed. I mean, it revs your system up, and they were using it as a weight loss product. And they actually passed away from that use. And so, you just have to be really careful and read labels and try to get the best products. If you really feel inclined to take supplements, to get the best products that are as pure as possible.
All right. So when we're talking about supplements, are like multivitamins also considered supplements?
Yeah, interestingly, they are. Anything, I mean, just look at the term supplement. Anything that is used to supplement one's diet, so an herb, amino acid, vitamin, mineral, technically all of those are considered supplements. So, yeah.
Do we need supplements if we eat a healthy, balanced diet?
Again, I'm going to say that you don't. But it's easy to say, oh, you don't need supplements because you just need to eat right. Because we all know, someone in your room there gets on the bus a little bit after 6, didn't have time to eat breakfast. So it's hard to even eat a meal sometimes, much less a nutritious meal with the schedules we have and the lifestyles we lead. So, I think with good planning and thoughtfulness about your day and your health, that you should be able to really not need supplements if you have a good diet. Now, obviously, I'm not a medical doctor, so I can't say for any one individual what someone needs or doesn't need, but so certainly you would defer to whatever your nurse or your doctor told you. But I think as a general rule, we can do it, we can get away without having to use supplements. And I think the other thing that I would say about that is it's real easy to kind of see the need for a multivitamin and those types of things, and I'm not against taking multivitamins at all. I think some of the other products that are really used maybe more for vanity. So like your protein powders and hydroxycut and, some of those things that people either use to gain or lose weight, I think that's where some of the problems are. And it seems like we're in a, we want what we want when we want it. So we want it. If I want to lose weight, I want to lose that weight now. If I want to gain weight, get bigger and faster and stronger, I want that now. So I may be tempted to take those products that aren't necessarily healthy for me. We're kind of getting what we want very quickly. And so some of the issues that I have known of where people have come into health problems related to supplement use kind of have that mentality. They want to lose that weight fast. They want to get that bigger, faster, stronger now. And so we tend then to take two capsules per day. I'm going to take four, or I'm going to take six, or I'm going to take eight. And so that's where I think the other problems come into play, where we end up taking more than what we're supposed to, and then obviously that leads to more troubles.
Are pharmaceutical grade supplements really any better?
You know, I think that if you just look at the spectrum of what's good and what's bad, I mean, I would certainly agree that there are those that are better and those that aren't as good. I think as a consumer, though, it's really difficult to know, for any one product, is it okay for you to take? Because if you really look at how supplements are labeled, and I've seen documentaries about this, and I've seen talk to people who are in, much more intimately knowledgeable about this and work with athletes than certain people now. But there was a documentary where these gentlemen were trying to show how easy it was to manufacture supplements and not really break any laws. And they hired 10 people. They went to this guy's kitchen table. They bought a bunch of empty capsules. They filled them up with powdered sugar. They bought a nice printer. They bought some bottles. They labeled them, and they put them up on a website, and people started ordering them. It literally is that simple to manufacture and sell a supplement because it's not regulated basically at all. The other thing that's a problem is, let's say that someone really isn't trying to get sugar pills into somebody, but they really think that people need to take a certain product. A lot of times, some of the products that end up in our supplements in the U.S. come from countries outside the U.S., again, where they're either less regulated or less regulated than our country, which I don't know how you can get less regulated than our country, but, the products in terms of how they're manufactured and how they're processed, again, very little information brought to the consumer about what they're putting in their body. So, your question is a fair one. I certainly would never recommend using this company and not that company, or using this company and not that company in terms of the products that you use. I would just be, very, very, very careful use and thinking about where you buy them and the production of them. I believe that there are some companies that do certify supplements. So I guess if I had to leave you with another thought, is it would be that, try to find one of those that is certified, because, you would think that someone that is going to the trouble to certify these hopefully is trying to lead people into the right direction. One more thing, though. But I certainly wouldn't say get on Billy Bob's supplement website and start ordering supplements.
What was the name of that documentary?
Actually, it's called Bigger, Faster, Stronger. And it's a documentary that, I want to say there was three or four brothers that wrestled. And they started using some supplements. They started using some steroids. And then one of the brothers started documenting it. And, I think it's been like on HBO and Showtime. And I think I can actually...
I'll have to check Amazon Prime or Netflix or something and see if we can find it.
Yeah, it's scary.
Anybody happen to see Bigger, Faster, Stronger? Anybody? No? Make sure you type that in bigger, faster, stronger, because I'm going to try and look that up. There we go. All right. Alex was going to ask you a question earlier, but you answered it.
Okay.
It was about doubling up or taking, you know, say, some weight loss stuff. If you take more than the recommended dose, you know, is it gonna help you lose weight, or like twice the protein powder, is it going to help you gain more weight, that kind of thing? I think you kind of answered that earlier.
Can you tell us about your work with the USADA?
Okay. USADA, USADA, that stands for the United States Anti-Doping Agency. And they became prominent probably a little bit more during this past year because their primary job is to do the drug testing and adjudication of positive tests for United States Olympic Committee team members, Paralympians. And so they were the ones that really felt like Lance Armstrong in his years of competition and his Tour de France performances had been taking performance-enhancing drugs, even though most people on the streets had the understanding that he had never tested positive for those use. So USADA started in 2000 after the Summer Olympic Games in Sydney, Australia. And during those Olympic Games, there were a number of athletes that had some questionable performances. And prior to USADA being formed, the United States Olympic Committee not only was charged with putting Olympic athletes onto a team and training, but they also had to do testing and deal with the test. So it was a bit of a conflict of interest. And so worldwide, each country basically started their own separate entity away from their Olympic committee that was charged with doing this drug testing. And so I've known about USADA since they started in 2000, and probably in 2009 or maybe even a little bit before, I was fortunate enough to meet some of the folks at USADA. And at the time, I think it was when I had just moved back to Texas, and Texas at the time was only one of a couple of nation that was actually doing drug testing of high school athletes. And so because I was in Texas, because I actually had a house in the area where they were located in College Springs, I started doing kind of consulting work with them in terms of their so in their early stages of them being in existence, they really just needed to get a handle on the drug testing and elite athlete, Olympic athlete education. But certainly, something that's really important to them is that they educate students like yourselves about things like supplements or diet or bullying and making good choices and all of the, things that high school, junior high, and even down into the elementary school kids face. So within the last several years, their education branch has begun, and the name of that is True Sport. And their website is www.truesport.org. And they have a lot of resources. The curriculums are free for students, resources for teachers, coaches, parents, nutrition guides. They actually have a website called Supplement 411. And they provide a lot of obviously, what I talked about today was on there in terms of regulation and getting product from outside the country. So if you're interested in really probably some of the most up-to-date information, I would highly suggest that you go to their website, because the issue of supplements is huge for them and for athletes that are Olympic teams or trying to make Olympic teams, et cetera. So I feel very fortunate to be able to do some work with USADA.
So did you ever deal with Olympic athletes, or like did you said you did some private consulting?
Yeah, so a lot of, most of 99% of what I've done is in schools, like Pasadena. In fact, Friday, a colleague and I will be going down to Alvin, which are kind of your neighbors, I believe.
Yep.
And we did a big project down there, and an Olympic athlete will be in Alvin all day Friday, kicking off. They're going to adopt the True Sport curriculum in Alvin. And so they, she's going to fly down and meet a lot of the students who used the curriculum last year. So to answer your question, not really the Olympic level athletes have their whole separate education program. So I've not been in situations where I've specifically done education with them. I've been able to meet some of them just being, you know, at the USADA offices and the Olympic Training Center. There is a training center in Colorado Springs. So there's been some events where I've been at where Olympic athletes have been there. And then certainly the Olympic, they're called True Sport Athlete Ambassadors, which is the athlete that'll be coming down to Alvin is a lady named Dee Dee Trotter, who has run, I believe she's run in the last three Summer Olympics. And has a great story, very inspiring, about perseverance and competing clean and competing for the right answer. It's been very rewarding.
All right, I think Edith has probably one more question.
Why are supplements not regulated even if you can fail a drug test with them?
You know, that's an important question. I think the reason is, and I hate to say this, but it's because of money. The people who try to sell supplements, there's a huge lobby. And so they, they're in the business of making money. So they want the laws to stay how they are right now. And which makes it pretty easy for their products to be available. Get into the hands of high school students or professional athletes or someone that just wants to gain weight or lose weight. So unfortunately, the answer to that is why is it not regulated? In my opinion, it's because of money. If you think about how drugs are regulated, the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, that's how they are actually regulated. So In the way that it's currently set up, the regulation of supplements would be virtually impossible because we just don't have enough folks associated with the FDA. So there'll have to be a lot of laws that change for that to happen. And then people would have to be, there'd have to be, I guess, monies available to do all of the regulation that really should be, in my opinion, should be done.
All right, so it's all about the money.
Unfortunately.
About the fact that the supplement companies are trying to pay to keep them from regulating it, and then the government just doesn't have money, obviously, since they were in a shutdown.
Yeah, exactly.
To regulate
it. Not a good day to be talking about needing more money for something, huh?
Right. Yeah. All right, so any final questions from you guys before we wrap it up? Maybe some vitamins you're taking or your personal experience with supplements. I was actually going to have one of our coaches that sells Advocare come and listen in and kind of, share his personal story because he's lost like 45 pounds taking the stuff and that kind of thing. And he just couldn't do it because they have a lot going on during the athletic period today.
Right. So. And I would say, boy, talk to him because I think it would be interesting to hear his experience. And, if he's someone that has lost 40 pounds, that is awesome. So, I'm presenting one school of thought, and I think students need to hear multiple sides of an issue, and then they can make good choices for themselves. So good for him, though.
All right, any final? Nope. So basically, don't take supplements. Just eat healthy.
That's what I would recommend.
But that requires planning, not like, oh, hey, it's 7 o'clock, I'm supposed to be at school at 7:15. Let me just skip breakfast.
You gotta get up the night before. You gotta get your little baggies out and fill them up with carrots and celery and your little snack foods and be able to pick it up on your way out the door for the next morning.
So, all right, so hopefully you know, within a week or so, we can email you or talk to you and tell you how our smoothies went, and then hopefully we'll do salsa after that, and then maybe we'll go to the pizza that you talked about, the cauliflower crust. So that was one of the favorite ones. It's a good bit of work to do all that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we have to make it pretty big.
Maybe I need to make a guest appearance down there.
Well, there you go. I tell you what, if you're coming here Friday, we'll do something. But you're going
to
Alvin, so.
Well, I can do it this Friday. Hooked up this Friday. Send an invitation sometime when you're going to. I'll come down.
All right. So maybe we can work that out.
All right.
All right, Lorena, this is you.
We would like to mention some of the people who support us. Pasadena ISD Education Foundation, grants with our sports medicine course and for this podcast equipment. Memorial Hermann for our guests and general support for sports medicine. G-Hats for sponsoring CEUs.
All right, so obviously Dr. Sandlin has nothing to do with Memorial Hermann, but we get a lot of contact with guests through our school district's partnership with Memorial Hermann. Like I said, like Dr. Sandlin said, I met her at a workshop, and then I was really interested in the topic. So I said, hey, let's talk about this some more. And she said, absolutely. And then, so that was last year, and then she came back on this year, and now she's inviting herself down for when we have some food. So we're just becoming buddies.
I'll come down and do some cooking.
Oh, but that might be even better.
I'll bring
you come right now.
It's only an hour and a half drive or so. So. All right. So if you want to check out our website, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com, you can watch live almost every Wednesday there or on Ustream. But all that stuff is on sportsmedicinebroadcast.com.
You can follow us on Twitter at PHS Sports Med, Google Plus, PHS Athletic Training, Facebook.com/PHS Athletic Training, or the office phone is 713-740-0310.
All right, so thank you, Dr. Sandlin. We're going to wrap it up here. So for Jeremy,
Michelle,
Alejandra,
Brianna,
Lorena,
Marlin,
Marissa,
Aisha,
Edith,
the rest of the sports medicine crew, and Dr. Sandlin, that's a wrap.